Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
So for those of you that weren't here last week, we are actually on the second part of a series on keys to answered prayer. How many of you in this place want to know that God hears your prayers and would love to see your prayers actually get answered? Getting results in prayers is so important in the life of a believer. Can you say amen? But our hearts and attitudes towards prayer are important. And the way that we pray will really have a great effect on the way our prayers get answered. It's very important for you to understand Scripture and begin to get revelation. Because once you have revelation, you'll actually move into the realm where you actually are able to be effective as a Christian. Have a look at what David says in Psalm 5, verse number 1. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Give heed to the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For to you I will pray. My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you, and I will look up. This is the way the psalmist, David, comes to God. Cries out to God, asks the Lord to consider his prayers, his meditation, and to hear his cry. He has an attitude of wanting to come into the presence of God and wanting God to respond to his prayers. I think it's such a beautiful picture of an attitude when we go to the Father. I always say I'm so jealous of how these guys write and the way that they speak and pray to God. Like, I just don't have that, you know, eloquence. I can't speak so beautifully or pray so beautifully. God's got to deal with my kind of plain prayers, you know. My prayers are not so, my voice cries out, you know, it's just so beautiful. But unfortunately, you know, we're not all the same, I suppose. So, you know, it's just a wonderful example, though, of someone approaching God in a very, very powerful way. Last week, I shared with you how God has actually created a way for us and has a desire for us to pray and be heard. If we have a look at the life of Jesus, Jesus is our high priest, number one. But the Bible also says that he is our forerunner. And he's our forerunner and into the presence of God. And he's a priest most high according to the order of Melchizedek. If you study the Bible, you'll understand. I don't want to get into too much of that this morning. But basically, what it means is that Jesus is not only a priest, but he's also a king. He's a king and a priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Now, this is what's important. Now, I want you to grasp this. You and I are called to be kings and priests. I taught you that last week. So if you weren't here, please go and get last week's recording online and listen to it. You need to know that the Bible says you are a royal priesthood. You are kings and priests unto our God. But the one who set the standard, the forerunner, was Jesus. Jesus went into he separated the veil because he was a king and a priest. And his priesthood was not according to the Levitical order. It was according to the priesthood of Melchizedek. Is that okay? So Jesus had an incredible way of having his prayers answered. When he prayed, the Father would hear his prayers. And when he taught on prayer, he gave a few principles that will help us to understand the Father's heart. When we pray, we need to see God the correct way. This is vitally important. If you're going to approach God with an attitude of God wants to scold me all the time, that he's mean or something like that, you're going to have a major struggle in having prayers answered. God is a God full of love and mercy and compassion and goodness. Can you say amen? If you want to know what God is like, have a look at who Jesus was, because he is the image of God on the earth in the flesh. Can you say amen? So that's how we know how God really is. There are some keys, though. There are some keys in order for us to be heard. The Bible says, ask and you'll receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. So in order for those prayers to be answered, there are some things that need to take place. Seeking, asking, knocking. And a lot of those things are attached to our priesthood, to the fact that we go to the Father with petitions and prayers and spend time with Him and get to know Him. And while we're in His presence, there's certain things that are released to us. And then when we pray, our prayers become effective. Can you say amen? All right. So this morning, I'm going to give you four keys to answered prayer. Next week, I'll give you another four. But we'll only have time today for four. One of the most important things when it comes to having your prayers answered is we have to have faith. Point number one. We have to have faith. The Bible says that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. The Bible also shows us that if we have no faith, it's impossible to please Him. Here's the problem. If we have unbelief, actually what unbelief really does is it paints a picture of who God is not. When you have no faith, when you have unbelief, it's basically giving an image of who God is not. Does it make sense? Let me give you the scripture to basically explain this. The Bible says that without faith, in Hebrews 11:6, it says this, Hebrews 11:6. Let me give you a second. I can finally have that sip of water I've been threatening to do for the last 5 minutes. Hebrews 11:6 says this, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is. This is vital. In other words, if we have no faith, it's impossible to please Him. So how will we know that we have faith? Because when we come to Him, we will believe that He is. He is what? He is who He says He is. Does it make sense? If you come to Him and you know who He is, you'll have faith because you'll believe who He is. And then it says, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. You see, your faith will be there if you begin to seek Him. If you begin to go after Him, your faith will actually begin to increase. Now, the Bible says in Matthew 21, verse 22. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Now, we're talking about prayer at the moment. And so we know that we want to know how our prayers should be answered. The Bible says that if we pray, we need to believe and then we'll receive. If we don't believe, we cannot receive. Are you with me? Remember, we have to believe that He is. If we don't believe that He is, then we don't believe that He is who He says He is. And if we don't believe He is who He says He is, we can never receive from Him. Are you with me, guys? So believing is absolutely vital. Here's the problem. We understand that faith is what's required. But how many of you here, if you're honest, can say there are times that you've had no faith? I'll lift both hands because it's happened many times. We haven't had faith for something. Well, here's the great news. If you don't have faith, you can get some. If you don't have faith, you can get some. And the Bible actually tells us how. The Bible doesn't just say you need faith so that your prayers will be answered. The Bible actually tells us how to get faith. Some people say, well, God gives you a measure of faith. Yes, He does, but you can also get more faith. The Bible tells us, if we go to Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So how do we get faith? Ugh, you people. You steal my thunder. Romans 10:17, it says, faith comes by hearing. So actually what's vitally important, the first part of the scripture, is that faith actually comes by hearing. Most people will say faith comes by the word. That's not true. Because that's not what the Bible says. The Bible doesn't say faith comes by the word. The word's involved in this transaction, but faith actually comes by hearing. Now, how does hearing come? Hearing comes by the word. So we need to understand what this means. And there's a key word here to explain what he's trying to tell us. The Greek word here for the word is the word rhema. Now, there are two types of words for the word in the Bible. We're talking about the word of God. The first word is the word logos, which is the written word of God. The word rhema, which is a different word, actually refers to the spoken word of God. Now, he's talking here about the spoken word, not the written word. Because if the written word was the part that it was, then faith would come by the word in itself. Does it make sense? So we understand that hearing is involved here. How many of you understand that when you pray, when you read your Bible sometimes, you'll be reading your Bible and suddenly something in the scripture comes alive. All of a sudden that scripture comes alive. And I don't know about you, but I've had experiences where I'll be reading the Bible and reading and reading and reading, and suddenly something happens and I like put it down. And all of a sudden I get up and I start to thank God for what I've just read, because it all of a sudden becomes exciting. It becomes real. It's like it just kind of makes sense. What's happened is the word has gone from logos to rhema. And when I begin to get that rhema word, that understood spoken word, and it moves off the page to actually having meaning, and I have faith and I believe it, that when I get up, I begin to speak it, declare it, understand it. It's become alive. God has spoken to me. That's when faith begins to come. That's why academic understanding in itself will not give you faith. You have to hear in order to have faith. That word must come alive. Jesus explains it like this. Watch. In Matthew 4, verse number 4, he says, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now, this scripture can be interpreted in more than one way. But watch this, just for illustration's sake. We know that the word of God is the bread of life, right? So, if it's the bread of life, he says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He specifically uses the word rhema here. So in other words, man shall not live from the logos only, but has to live from the spoken word of God. In other words, your relationship with God is vitally important, because that's what will build faith. Come on, you can do a little bit better than that, guys. Once the logos begins to become rhema, that's how we live. That's how we grow. That's how we begin to hear and see and understand the things that God has planned for us. If you want to begin to pray and understand, you must believe that He is. And He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Amen. Have a look at what it says in Proverbs 4, verse 20. This is so powerful. Proverbs 4, verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them. Logos, rhema. Once it becomes alive, once the scriptures begin to have meaning, once you begin to believe that it's truth, that scripture begins to give you life. That scripture not only gives you life, but it has the potential, read the next part, and health to all their flesh. Listen, you will never have a breakthrough for a miracle in your life until you believe that God is a healer. You'll never have a financial breakthrough until you believe that God wants to prosper you. But you have to find it first. The logos must become rhema. Are you with me? Faith is a vital ingredient to answered prayer. And without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So no faith, no answer. Can you say amen? The second key this morning, I really believe with all my heart, it's like every key is so important, you know? There is no other way to pray except this way. When we come to Him, we must pray in the name of Jesus. We must pray in the name of Jesus. And when it comes to having our prayers answered, this is vital. John 14, verse number 6 says this. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So we know that getting to the Father, having access to the Father, having access to Rhema, revelation, having access to everything that we need, there's only one way to do it, and that's to come through Jesus. But he also says in John 16, 23, when it comes specifically now to prayer, and in that day, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, I will give you. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, I will give you. Until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. So when we come to the Father in prayer, when we approach him and we ask for things, how should we do it? In his name. In the name of Jesus. Now, many people know this. Many people are like, well, I knew that, you know. So let me ask you the question. Why do we do it? Why do we ask in the name of Jesus? Why is it in his name? The first thing we must understand is that we pray this way because of what he did. Because of what he did. How many of you know you are saved by grace? How many of you know it's because of the cross that we are Christians? How many of you know the only reason you can pray and have access to God is because of him? So we know it's because of what he did. Can you say amen? The other thing we need to understand is it's not because of who we are, but it's because of who he is that we get our prayers answered. You see, last week I gave this illustration, but just in case you weren't here, let me give it again. And it makes sense in the context of this as well. When Paul was on the earth, he was a powerful minister. Can you say amen? The sons of Sceva tried to imitate him and do deliverance on a man that was demon-possessed. And when they approached this man that was demon-possessed, they prayed and they say something to the effect of, we cast you out in the name of the God or the Jesus that Paul serves. So they didn't pray in the name of Jesus. They were like unsure. And so the demon responds and says, listen, Paul I know, Jesus I know, but who are you? When you pray in the name of Jesus, that's exactly right. Who am I? It doesn't really matter who I am. I'm not coming as an ambassador or as a representative of who I am. I'm coming in the name of Jesus, and that's who I represent. I have a power of attorney that has been given to me because I have his stamp on me. I have his authority on me. I have his spirit on me. And when I pray in that name, it's like he's praying. And so you must bow the knee. Can you say amen to the King of Kings? That's why when we approach God, we say, Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. That's how I come. Father, can you please touch my child and heal her in Jesus' mighty name? That's how I pray, because I know that it's in his name that I have access, that I have answers. Are you with me? Does it make sense? All right, good. Point number three. This is important. They're all important. Amen. When we approach God, this is so important. You must approach him boldly. You must approach him boldly. Hebrews 4 verse 16 says it like this, and I love what it says. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. You see, when we approach God, every time you come to him, you need to know that he sits on the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Listen, God will answer you because of what he's already done. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You are washed in the blood of the Lamb. When you come to him, you must approach him knowing who you are and what he's done and who he is. So come before him boldly. Because many of us come before Him and all we do is we stay in that place of condemnation. We stay in that place of being afraid of that God hasn't forgiven us or we can't move forward. And if we stay in that place, if we don't approach Him boldly, we're going to miss the majors that God has for us. You see, God wants you to get over the minors, get over the little stuff so that He can get you to the business of prayer so that you can affect your family, so that you can affect this county, so that you can affect this nation with your prayers. You have the ability to do that. But so many of us focus on our problems. We focus on the issues that we have. And Psalm 66:18 tells us just how dangerous this is. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. But certainly God has heard me and has attended to the voice of my prayer. David made lots of mistakes. The psalmists made lots of mistakes. But when they went to God, they went boldly before Him because they knew who He was. And so He's saying, yeah, listen, don't focus on the iniquities, on the sins. Don't focus on that stuff. Because if you do, God's not going to hear you. But if you move your focus from that, listen, I'm not saying don't approach God humbly. Absolutely, you should. You know, the Bible has given us a roadmap of how to pray. Can you say amen? But it's so important that when we approach God, we approach Him with boldness. Because when we approach Him with boldness, He knows that things are about to take place because we're going to align ourselves with what He desires. And the fourth key this morning, which really is so important, is choose His will above your own. Listen, guys. Many of you sitting here want to know why God hasn't answered your prayers. If the Bible says, ask and you'll receive, why hasn't it happened? If the Bible says, ask anything and I'll give it to you, why hasn't it happened? Well, I'm going to tell you why in just a moment. Jesus gave us one of the most beautiful pictures of how to approach God, even when He was feeling a little bit uncomfortable. And when many people read this, they actually think that God didn't answer this prayer, but that's not true. He answered it beautifully and perfectly. Matthew 26, verse 39, when Jesus is in the garden, He prays like this. He went a little further. This was before He went to the cross when He was in the garden. He went a little farther and fell on His face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as You will." You see, the Father did answer the prayer because Jesus aligned Himself up with the Father and what He was supposed to do. He didn't pray against the Father, but He expressed the way He felt in that moment. Are you with me? Did the Father answer the prayer? Yes. Why? Because He prayed at the end, "If it's possible, take it from me. But nevertheless," in other words, "but don't, never mind, Lord. Rather, let Your will be done." Are you with me? Sometimes you'll pray for things and they won't be answered because it's not according to the plans that He has for you. It's not according to the will that He has for you. This is so important that Jesus actually taught this principle to His disciples. The one thing that the disciples asked Jesus to teach them was He asked them to teach Him, to teach them how to pray. He didn't ask them to teach them how to preach. He didn't ask them to teach them how to lead. They asked Him to teach Him how to pray. They wanted to know how to pray. And so He did. He taught them. In Matthew 6, verse number 9, it says this: "In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come," and here it comes. "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." What's important for you to understand is by starting your prayer, by saying, "Father, let Your will be done," that means that everything I'm about to pray or have already prayed, "Father, let it only be so according to Your will." Are you with me? I don't want it to be the will of God. Well, we've got problems then. I can't help you. What we do when we pray that prayer is we say, Father, this is what I'm asking. But if it's not your will, I choose your will. When you say, not my will, but your will be done, that means you say, I choose your will over my own. Can you say amen? Listen, there are two types of prayers. This is so important that we need to understand. There are two types of prayers that you will pray most of the time. I'm going to teach you about five or six different types of prayers later, but really there are two that will come from you in different ways. The first one will come from the old nature. The first one will come from your soul more than likely. Now, your soul can align with God, of course, but often the soul is affected by the things of the flesh and the things of this world. Can you say amen? The spirit, though, prays according to the purposes and the plans that God has for you. Your spirit is so important. Connecting with your spirit, I'm not talking about a ghost or anything like that. I'm talking about your spirit. How many of you know when you were born again, your spirit was born again? Amen. That's the part that connects with God. So the soul, the old nature, wants to pray one way, and your spirit wants to pray another way. And there's a great example of how this works in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse number 9. Let's go there. You guys all okay this morning? All right. Am I going too fast? Okay. 1 Corinthians 2, verse number 9. This is one of my favorite scriptures. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. How many of you in this place love God? Amen. For those of you that didn't lift your hands, I didn't see you. Okay. All of us love God. That means that he has prepared something for us. But it's imperative that you understand, eye has not seen, ear has not heard. In other words, there are things that your natural man cannot comprehend, does not understand, and he's placed them deep on the inside of you. But your natural man does not understand these things. So it's amazing because God has actually prepared these things for you beforehand. No one that is sitting here does not have a purpose. No one that is sitting here, God does not have a plan for. He has a plan for each and every one of us. And he's prepared something for you. But the problem is your eyes and your ears and your natural man doesn't comprehend it. So generally, it wants its own agenda. Right? So what's the solution? I'm so glad you're asking so many questions this morning. Verse number 10. So what's the answer? But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. You see, the Spirit is the one, the Holy Spirit is the one who will reveal to you the things that God has prepared for you. He's the one who will reveal to you the purposes and the plans. So what's so important, I didn't say this in the other sermons, but I'll say it with you guys right now. What's so important is that we begin to find out what those plans are. We begin to tap into what those things are so that we can begin to pray that way. When you begin to pray according to his purposes and plans and you line your prayers up with him, he will answer every one of them. Now, our natural man doesn't understand, but the Holy Spirit, he's the one who reveals them to us. Verse 11, for what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. So your spirit inside that has become born again knows everything about you, knows how you tick, knows how you think, knows what you want, knows it knows you. And the Holy Spirit knows the things of God, and the two come together. And when they come together, what needs to happen is your spirit will understand what he's trying to say. The problem is to get this thing to understand what your spirit has heard from God, so that when you begin to pray, you begin to pray words that he will answer. He is not obliged to answer your soul. How can I say that? Well, let's just give a natural example. How many of you in this place love your children? And if you're a good father and love your children, you want to give them everything. But how many of you know you're not going to give them something that will affect their destiny? You're not going to give them something that will spoil and destroy their character. So sometimes when we approach God, not having the big picture, not understanding the purposes and the plans that he has for us and his eternal plan, what happens is we're asking things that don't line up with his plans. That's why there's clues. If we ask according to his will, that's when we receive. If we don't ask according to his will, he's not obliged to answer. Now, does that mean we can never ask for anything that's like kind of natural? Absolutely not. We can ask for things, but we must understand that he's not always going to answer. Lord, I really want a BMW. Does that fit in with the plans of God? Probably not. But let me give you one example. I always say God likes Naomi more than me, okay? Well, I don't know about that. He answers her more than me. Okay? So, when we were younger, we were living in Stuart, and we were involved with planning a church there. And we were kind of going through transition. I'd sold my business. We were moving into another business. And we were short of money. And I remember we went to a church service, and we heard about someone who shared a testimony about how they received money in the mailbox. Now, listen, guys, I'm not into all the weird and wonderful stuff out there, okay? But we got home that night, and Naomi said, you know, imagine if God could do something like that for us. That would be amazing. And she told me she was going to pray and ask the Lord. So she went and asked the Lord, and the next morning, she wanted to go and see if God answered her. And so she went and opened the mailbox, and there was $500 in our mailbox. Okay? Now listen to me. Why did God do it? Well, the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, what things? The things you need will be added unto you. He also knew that about 5 or 6 years later, I'd be standing in front of you and maybe be able to share this story so that it could help you and encourage you and strengthen you. You need to know that he's a good father. He does care about your needs and the things that you have desire for. But you must understand he's not going to spoil you. He's not going to destroy you. And sometimes when he doesn't answer prayers quite the way we expect him to, we need to be okay with that, because there's a much bigger picture that maybe eye or ear has not quite comprehended yet. Are you with me, guys? Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. So our natural man has not comprehended fully the things that God has for us. The only way that we're going to be able to do that is when we tie and tap into our own spirit. And I'll teach you how to do that in 2 weeks' time. So don't miss it, right? All right. I gave this example. God's not always obliged to answer soulish prayers. What does God do when there are two football teams? The one team is praying, good Christians, real believers, love the Lord with all their heart. Father, please help us to win. On the other side, good Christians, wonderful believers, love God with all their heart. Lord, please help us to win. Whose prayer is he going to answer? The truth is, he's not obliged to answer anyone's prayers. But he knows the plans he has for us. The Bible says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Not to harm you, but to give you a future and a hope. He wants to prosper you. He wants to bless you. God has a plan for you, and he wants to get you to go on that path. Are you with me? If you begin to follow his plan, the Bible actually says that you will step into his perfect and permissible will. Can you say amen? All right, let's continue. So we understand. We understand how critical it is for us to line ourselves up with his will. 1 John 5:14 says this. Now this is the confidence that we have in him. What's the confidence? He is. This is so important, guys. Our confidence is in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked Him. So our confidence is in His goodness, in His mercy, in His love, because that's how He is. And so we can approach Him for healing, for finances. We can approach Him for anything. How many of you here believe that God loves you more than you love yourself? How many of you know that He knows better than you? And how many of you think He wants the best for you? Can you say amen? So sometimes, even when it hurts, we need to understand that He is in control. Now, God can do amazing things, and He does do amazing things. But if you want to be one of those people that really, when you pray, your prayers get answered. There's a response that comes from heaven when you begin to speak. I've shared with you about how important it is for us to be a royal priesthood, but the priesthood part is vitally important to us having any rulership on this earth when it comes to the things that God has prepared for us. The priest part is vitally important. Now, Joshua does this incredible miracle. Let's go to Joshua 10, verse number 12. I'm almost done. Are you guys okay? I'm almost done. Like 5 more minutes. Thank you for the 4 of you that said it's okay. We go on for 5 more minutes. Now I'm going to go on for 10 minutes just because. Eight minutes. Okay. Joshua 10, verse number 12. Then Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, sun stand still over Gibeon, and the moon in the valley of Ajalon. So the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the people had revenge upon their enemies. It was not written in the... Is this not written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and did not hasten to go down for about a whole day. And there has been no day like that, before it or after it, that the Lord heeded the voice of a man. Now watch. For the Lord fought for Israel. You must understand, this is an incredible miracle. An incredible thing that the sun actually stops. And the Bible tells us that this has never happened again and will not happen again. But I want you to see the extent that God will go to fulfill His plan. You see, Joshua's lined himself up with the purposes and the plans of God. That's why in that final verse, it makes that statement that the Lord fought for Israel. Why? Because He'd made promises. He'd made promises to the children of Israel that they would inherit that land would become theirs. And what happens is there has to be someone that's going to believe in that word, in that promise. And so Joshua was standing in the face of his enemies, and the sun's about to go down, and things are not looking good, and he needs a miracle so that they can continue to conquer the way that the Lord has spoken. And so he says, Father, you said that we're going to, and I'm not saying that this is exactly what he said, but basically what he was saying was, Father, you said that we're going to take this land, we're going to be able to destroy this enemy. You need to keep the sun up. And guess what the Lord did? He answered. But how is it that Joshua could get to that place with God? Watch this. Exodus 33, verse number 11. So many of us know this scripture, but we only focus on the first part because it is amazing. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to a friend. How many of you think that's really cool? Right? But watch this next part. And he would return to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. God speaking to Moses face to face, and Joshua's hiding in the back of the tabernacle, listening to the words between Moses and God, having access to something that only priests have access to. Man, this is powerful. You and I have that type of access. Are we going to be like Joshua, the son of Nun, who made a decision to pursue God so that he could find God's words? Remember, I quoted that in the beginning. If you find his words, there will be life to you and there'll be healing to your flesh. You see, God will begin to answer your prayers once you know his words and understand his purposes. And then once your purpose and your plan, and the desires of your heart begin to pursue him, and you align yourself up that way, he will begin to answer you in the most miraculous ways. When he prayed that prayer, imagine standing in front of all the children of Israel and asking God to stop the sun. Imagine standing in Vero Beach, on the beach, in front of a couple of thousand people and saying, God, will you stop the sun? People are going to think you're crazy. But he'd heard. He'd been in the tabernacle. He'd spent time seeking after God. Even when Moses left, he wanted to just sit in the presence of God. Not my will, Lord, but your will. He pursued God with everything. In Joshua 24, verse 14, the people become all restless. And this is what he says. He says to them, he says, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of which your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. Listen, I don't have the time, but I have the book of Jasher. The Bible quotes the book of Jasher where this event takes place, and it quotes out of that book, it quotes what Joshua prays to God in front of the children of Israel. And the one thing that comes out of it, it's so beautiful. If you want to get the book of Jasher, it's not scripture, but it's a book that gives you a lot of information where the Bible even quotes out of it. So it's a good book, right? And in that book, you can actually see this whole event play out in Jasher 88. And the beginning of Jasher 89, verse number 1, he begins to pray to God. You've got to hear it, guys. It's so powerful. And the one thing he does is he gives thanks to God for the deliverance, because he knows the will and the plans of God. Listen, as you begin to seek God, as you begin to go to him in the name of Jesus, with faith, as you begin to go to him and ask him that his will be done, as you come to him boldly and begin to cry out to him, I want you to know his desire is that your prayers will be answered. But there is a key. We have to line ourselves up with his plans. Our spirit must begin to pray those prayers. They must come from our inner man, not from our soulish man. So it's not the things that our flesh and our soul wants, but it's the things of the spirit, that when we begin to pray them, he will hear us and he will answer us. Father, in the name of Jesus, this morning I pray for every single person in this place, Father, that you will give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Yes, Father, I know that it's not the natural man, but I pray, Lord, that we will begin to tap into those things that you've called us to do, those spiritual things. For does the Spirit not search the deep things of God? Father, I ask in the name that is above every name, that every single one of us will pursue you like Joshua did, Father. That, Lord, when we face the mountains, we will be like Joshua and Caleb in that day, Father. That we will be the ones that want to pursue it. We will be the ones that want to go after it. The others will say, yes, it is a place that is filled with milk and honey, but it's too difficult for us. Let us not be like that, Father. Let us go after you with everything inside of us. We love you, Father, and we're so grateful that our names are written in the book of life. You have given us life and life more abundant. But Lord, let not the great salvation that you have given us come to nothing or be wasted. Rather, Father, let us be your mouthpiece. Let us be your hands and feet on this earth, Father. Lord, let us align ourselves. So even when we pray for our nation, while the enemy rages against this nation to bring death and destruction and be able to call those things that are evil good, I pray, Lord, that we will stand and we will begin to intercede for our own households, for our nation, for our families, for our loved ones, that we will stand, Father, and we will pray, not my will, but your will be done. Father, this is our desire. This is our desire for my life, for our own lives, for our families, for everything. This is our desires, not our will be done, but your will be done. And so in this place, we just give you thanks, Lord. Lord, like the disciples even prayed, we need more faith. Give us faith, Lord, so that we can see and know and understand the things that you've already freely given to us. And so we love you, Lord. We praise you and we honor you. I pray that that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the love of the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each and every person as they leave here today. In the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.